You're listening to NBC Sports Radio, and this is Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio. And we're coming at you live from the Super Bowl's Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, here's your host, Mike Florio.
It's Friday of Super Bowl week, and we are live once again on Radio Row, PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. We don't usually take a guest right out of the gates. You have to listen to me talk and talk and talk for about 10 minutes. But every once in a while, there's a guest who overcomes that very high bar. This guy doesn't, but we have him on anyway. Bruce Arians, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Bruce, congratulations on all your success out here. 2 years in as the head coach of the Cardinals, how's it feel so far?
Oh, it's great. I think we're building each year. You know, the first year we kind of learned that we could win. This year, I think we learned we could win it all. You know, and just have to keep believing in the way we're doing things and put some more pieces to the puzzle together.
I think one of your best skills is to convince every player that when it's time to go, it's time to go. And is it more you have faith in them or you have an expectation in them?
I think both. I think they have to know you have faith in them. And you have to set a level of expectation that they can reach or try to achieve even more.
How much grumbling are you hearing from your players about the fact that the Seahawks are going to be in their locker room this weekend?
Well, yeah, that was the biggest part of our whole off-season program. Don't let anybody dress in your lockers. And, especially somebody from the NFC West.
And now this year the message is going to be, let's go dress in someone else's
locker.
Let's
go get in the 49ers locker.
That's good. Perfect
exactly.
Booking. Seahawks come here. We'll go to San Francisco next year. What needs to happen, tangible, to get to San Francisco, to Santa Clara next February?
Well, first and foremost, we got to get both our quarterbacks healthy and ready to go. And I think they're proven players. They're great leaders. And the depth that we have at the position when they're both healthy is outstanding. And then we need to get a little bit faster on defense and build some team speed.
Any update on Carson Palmer's health? He had that torn ACL back during the season. How's he doing on the way to recovery?
He's doing extremely well. I think he's a little bit ahead of schedule, and something we'll keep our eye on, make sure that we don't overdo him. But he's targeting minicamp, and I love that.
He's Bruce Arians, Cardinals head coach, the PFT Coach of the Year. That's a far more important honor
Thank you
than
so
the
much.
Associated Press Award. We don't care about that one, but that one comes out tomorrow night. Will you attend the NFL Honors?
Yes, we'll be there, and keep our fingers crossed.
Do you have a speech ready?
Oh, no. Team is what it takes. That's all we have to say.
You won't have notes or anything? You're just going to go up and speak?
Never do.
All right. And you were the coach of the year 2 years ago as an assistant coach. I don't know if that's ever happened before, but what a crazy year that was in Indianapolis and really proved to the NFL that maybe everybody had Bruce Arians wrong all these years, that you should have been a head coach a long time ago. Is it gratifying to you or frustrating that, you know what, I should have been a head coach? Somebody missed the boat. Everybody missed the boat 15, 20 years ago or longer.
Oh, no, I'm just happy to have the opportunity now. You know, these last 3 years have been crazy. But the season we had in Indianapolis was a fairy tale, really. And it all was about getting Chuck healthy. You know, it just happened that we were winning some games. And I think that football was the best medicine to get Chuck well, and that was the whole focus.
He's Bruce Arians, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, a 2012 Associated Press Coach of the Year, 2014 PFT Coach of the Year, and odds-on favorite to be the 2014 AP Coach of the Year as well. What do you do in the offseason?
Well, we don't have one anymore. You know, just got back from the Senior Bowl and enjoying the festivities here in town. Played in the Waste Management Pro-Am with Bubba Watson. That was a treat, and you talk about a talent and a great guy.
How's your golf game?
It's getting better. You know, we just get. It's so hard to start every year. I don't play during the season at all, so every year is a new swing.
How many rounds are you able to play in a year?
Oh, I'll get 70 or 80 in, because I'm going to play every day when I get a chance.
And you'll get a chance, what, May, June, July?
June, July, yeah. And during our off season, you know, we'll take a lot of Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays and get out on the course.
What's your best club?
My driver.
How far?
I still hit it around 275.
That's pretty good. Bruce Arians here on PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. What's the plan for the offseason? We see some teams go out and spend a ton of money on free agents. We see some teams just try to keep the guys they have. What's your goal?
First and foremost, keep our guys, you know, and then try to put the right guys in our locker room, guys that love football, that are smart players, that would play for free.
Larry Fitzgerald isn't playing for free.
No.
How will he be playing for the Cardinals?
Well, I hope so. You know, our whole goal is to have him retire a Cardinal, and it means so much to us for that to happen. And you know, it's really up to Larry at this point, but he knows we want him back badly.
He's Bruce Arians, Cardinals head coach here on PFT Live and NBC Sports Radio. Linebacker Darrell Washington, any plan, any expectation that he'll be back this year?
everything is so much. He has to go through the protocol of getting reinstated. And then after he's reinstated, we'll have to find out if there's any other sanctions against him for the other things. So that's one of the things that we really need to find out going into free agency, what his future looks like.
Do you find yourself just daydreaming about how it could have been if all these things didn't happen, the adversity didn't occur?
No, I told every single player when we checked out, don't what if yourself to death, because it'll drive you crazy. I put all those guys from IR back on the depth chart up on the board and said, whoo, this is a pretty good football team. Think about what can it be, not what if we had these guys last year.
He's Bruce Arians, Cardinals head coach here on PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. Tell me about the Arians Family Foundation.
Yeah, it's something that's very dear. My wife was a CASA, court-appointed special advocate, for 12 years. And we have a foundation and two golf tournaments, one in Georgia, one here coming March 7th and 8th out of Talking Stick. And we have 16,000 kids in Maricopa County in foster care and only 700 CASAs. And a CASA is a guardian ad litem. That's their voice, the positive figure in their life. And trying to do everything we can to get this situation fixed.
How can people get more information about it?
ArriansFamilyFoundation.com, and our golf tournament is coming up March 7th and 8th.
That's good. Bruce Arians here on PFT Live. Now, you played the Seahawks twice this year. Everybody talks about what you do with Richard Sherman. What's your approach when you're facing the Seahawks and you've got Richard Sherman trying to take away half the field?
Well, I think that's something that you can't allow happen. You can't have your quarterback playing scared. Now, he's got to play smart. But you have to go after Sherman the right ways. And that defense's length and speed is probably unmatched by anybody else in the league. They're not real complicated. They're just extremely good at what they do.
Yeah, it seems like Bill Belichick and the Patriots are very good at coming up with whatever game plan they need to come up with. Seahawks just put their guys out there and just say, do what you always do.
Yeah.
And it works.
And I think New England has – you have to have really good run-after-the-catch guys taking short routes and making people miss. I think Gronk and Edelman and Vereen are those type of players. To me, the game's real simple. If they're catching balls 4 and 5 and gaining 9, I like the Patriots. If Cam's blowing them up at 4 and one of them's popping out and they're dropping balls because of that and Bobby Wagner hitting them, then I like Seattle.
He's Bruce Arians, Cardinals head coach. What would you say to your players if you were Bill Belichick in the aftermath of this Deflategate controversy?
It has nothing to do with his game. It has nothing to do with practice. Bill has a great process. They know what they're doing on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays and Fridays, and it's all over with.
What was your reaction when you heard about it?
Yeah, I thought it was totally blown out of proportion. I agreed in 2006 when we got the rules changed where the quarterbacks could get the balls the way they liked them for the betterment of the offenses, and I don't want to see that rule changed.
Wasn't it the league, though, that blew it out of proportion? The league decides to investigate something that apparently plenty of guys either think about doing or try to do some way or another. How widespread do you think it is that air in the balls gets adjusted?
I don't think it's very widespread, and it's still debatable how it happened, you know. But I don't think there's any truth that they intentionally did it.
What's the craziest cheating you've heard of? You don't have to name names, but what's the craziest thing you've heard about?
Oh, the old days before the coach the quarterback, coach the linebacker. Stealing signals was the best. There were some of the best guys in the world over there, you know, and then getting that information into your quarterback was an art form.
He's Bruce Arians, Cardinals head coach here, PFT Live, NBC Sports Radio. How many years now as a head coach? Or not as a head coach, but as a coach for you?
Well, this will be 42.
Who have you learned the most from in your career?
Jimmy Sharp. Jimmy Sharp was my head coach, my third head coach as a player in college. And
where at?
At Virginia Tech, and I owe everything to him because he taught me into coming back one more year and then got me started in coaching. And he was Coach Bryant's offensive coordinator for 10 years, played at Alabama for Coach Bryant, got me the opportunity to work with Coach Bryant his last 2 years, and he would be the second because he was a master of people. I mean, he could read people better than anybody I've ever known.
He's Bruce Arians, Cardinals head coach here on PFT Live. Has anybody ever had a better retirement than you?
No. No.
Because you retired 3 years ago.
Yes, indeed.
What happened?
Everything got good, you know. Everything got good all of a sudden, you know.
Sometimes we get better after we retire.
Yes, indeed.
Maybe I should retire.
I use the word refired, but it's easier that way.
How much longer do you want to do it?
Oh, until they let me. It's too much fun.
You know? And the Cardinals, I think, are going to let you do it as long as you want to do it because you've done a great job. We congratulate you on all your success, and thanks for giving us some time today.
Thank you.
Bruce Arians, PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. We'll be back with more. Stick around.
Live from the Super Bowl's Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona.
It's Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio. Now, your host, Mike Florio.
Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is built by the Home Depot. Let's do an easy update at the Home Depot. You can get a lot more bathroom for your buck with top brand names like Home Decorators Collection, Kohler and Glacier Bay. The Home Depot also offers buy online, pick up in store. Just place your order online or through the Home Depot iPhone or Android apps. Then come pick up your vanity ready and paid. Visit homedepot.com/bath for details. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Whew.
We've powered up here.
Wow.
Twice the guest. What?
That was a tremendous read. MBS.
Thank you very much.
Very well done.
We have to take care of our friends at Home Depot.
Get the package.
I don't care about taking care of you.
Fair enough.
And I'm glad you removed the non-conforming earbuds. I was going to have to fine you for wearing a non-conforming product.
I have to do this to keep my inner zen. It's just ocean waves crashing as I walk through the maelstrom that is.
I'd hate to see you without your inner zen. I've seen you with your inner zen, and it's not a pretty sight.
No.
Is it going to be a pretty sight on Sunday?
Depends on which side of the country you hail from.
And MDS, who is in the middle of the country, and then therefore is Switzerland in this, who do you like on Sunday?
I'm right in the middle in Chicago, and I think it's going to be a bad day for Tom Curran's New England Patriots. I like the Seahawks. I think everything has played out this week for the Seahawks to go exactly as they would want it to go, because all the distractions of Super Bowl week have been on the Patriots. And oh, by the way, I just think the Seahawks have a better roster top to bottom. Great defense, maybe an all-time great defense if they can shut down Tom Brady the way they shut down Peyton Manning a year ago. I like the Seahawks a lot on Sunday.
My contention is there's no way that Tom Brady can be shut down like Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning is a certain kind of delicate flower that cannot deal with pressure up the middle. And
I'm shocked that you would say that about Peyton.
I mean, I'm ahead of the freaking curve over here. I've been telling you for 3 years, and this is what's going on. He doesn't have the arm strength to compete and the velocity to deliver the ball. Tom Brady does. So while they're going to, I believe, Seattle, take away Gronk to a degree and also be able to swarm to the ball against Julian Edelman, they do have other options, whether it be Blunt, whether it be Vereen, whether it be Brandon LaFell. They'll be able to move the ball. I'm not sure how much Seattle is going to score. What, to me, last point, when you combine the strength of schedule, as it were, that Seattle has faced over the last 7-8 weeks, how they played against Green Bay, and the fact that New England vastly outplayed Seattle, albeit 2 years ago, in Seattle, and still lost a football game, I think New England can move the ball, can score on Seattle.
We're here at Radio Row at the Super Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona, with Tom Curran of CSN New England and Michael David Smith, also known as MDS, of ProFootballTalk.com. I hear all the time talk about the blueprint. The blueprint. Well, the Packers did give the Patriots the blueprint for dealing with the Seahawks. Now, the Patriots have to take it and finish the job. Don't play to not lose, play to win.
Oh, definitely.
But if the Patriots can replicate that, and maybe if the Seahawks are a little bit complacent because they think, hey, last time we were able to dodge this bullet, we can dodge it again. We can sleepwalk through 3.5 quarters. Although I keep going back to September. Back in September, I correctly, for the first time ever, prognosticated Packers. No, Patriots, Seahawks. Not Packers.
Did you see that?
Patriots. You picked the Packers. Did you pick the Packers?
I did pick
them. And you picked against them in the NFC title game, which was entirely wrong to do.
I hedged my bets.
And I chose not to do it.
The Packers in the NFC title game? I liked the Packers' chances in Seattle.
But
here's the thing. There is no blueprint that the Packers hatched. The Packers actually were beneficiaries of a poor performance by Seattle. There's nothing that they did except stand back and let Russell Wilson throw them the football and then play not to lose. If you're saying the blueprint is to be aggressive, certainly. But in terms of expecting Seattle to replicate that kind of performance, I don't think he can.
Anyway, I still like the Seahawks because I picked the Seahawks back in September.
So it has nothing to do with the breakdown. You're just going to be obstinate and say this is what's going to happen.
I can't go against what I picked back in Seattle.
You think that's flawed?
I cannot.
So flawed.
I think what's really interesting is we talk about the Packers playing not to lose. There were 3 different 4th-and-1 plays facing the Packers on which they kicked. Once they punted, twice they kicked short field goals. If the Packers had gone for it on those 4th-and-1s, the Packers might have won that game. And I think Bill Belichick will be more aggressive on 4th-and-1, will be more aggressive about if I've got a shot at 7, I won't settle for 3.
Right.
So that is one reason to like the Patriots. I'm just not sure that the Patriots are going to get as many opportunities as the Packers did.
Well, when you look at the two different teams, which team is more versatile offensively? Which team can morph better, the Patriots or the Packers? Because when you get in the red zone and you're the Patriots, and the Packers got there twice, and they also from the 29 threw a pick, when you get down there, you do have more options than the Packers do. As wonderful as Aaron Rodgers is, and I believe he's the best quarterback in the league, New England's a little bit more versatile and should be able to finish off those drives.
And that's a great point, but regardless, the Seahawks are the Seahawks.
Just because you said at the beginning of the year, not budging.
Well, and Marshawn Lynch, how do you account for Marshawn Lynch? And I think there's some wisdom in this goofy Marshawn Lynch act this week, even if he didn't intend it. You talk about minimized distractions. He's been the lightning rod.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about anything else with the Seahawks except for Richard Sherman, whether or not he's going to be there if his girlfriend goes into labor, which I can't. It's up to him. It's his call. I've been down this path before, and I still have the scars from it. It's completely up to him, whatever he chooses to do. But I still think the Seahawks will just find a way. They always seem to find a way.
Have we seen a more resourceful team than New England facing off against the Seahawks? I mean, you're talking about a team that has pulled its chestnuts from the fire time and again with this quarterback, with this head coach. Pete Carroll is excellent. And his style of coaching is very good so that they don't get rattled. We've seen the poise late in the game. But to me, the Patriots are going to be in a position like the Packers were. They're going to be ahead. Can they kill the game?
Here's the key, and this is the key. As we talk to Tom Kern of CSN New England and Michael David Smith of PFT, there's a little Tim Tebow dynamic to this. How does Bill Belichick deal with Tim Tebow when he's on the other side? You don't give him a chance to pull a rabbit out of the hat in the fourth quarter. You kill him in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you get to the fourth quarter, it's over. And I think with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, that's the imperative. Build the huge lead like the Seahawks did against the Broncos last year. Now, it's one thing to do against Cincinnati on a
right.
Sunday night in Foxborough. It's another thing to do it in Arizona in February against the Seahawks.
But I don't see this as a game where either team can build a huge
sure.
lead. I think this is going to be a close game and a pretty low-scoring game. One of the prop bets you can make is, will there ever be a lead of 14 points or more? I bet no on that. I think this is a close game throughout, but I like the Seahawks defense enough that I think in a close game when the Patriots are going to need points, the Seahawks defense, I think, can shut that Patriots offense down. You said the Seahawks will focus on Rob Gronkowski. I wouldn't be surprised if Gronk has a pretty good game. I just don't see many points coming from anywhere else.
Well, I just think that he is going to be the linchpin, as it were, of the offense. And that's they will devote a player and a half. And I think their speed will take Edelman out. But LaFell, Vereen, Blount, as I had said earlier. Here's the interesting thing. You're right. Points-wise, a 7 or 10-point lead may be, in a general game, not that big. In this game, it's going to seem really big, which it did, I think, in the NFC Championship game. Because it's going to be such hard sledding, the Patriots' defense, I think, is underrated, not for the fact of they're better than Seattle, but matchup-wise, they don't play against Seattle's defense. They play against Seattle's offense, and their secondary should hold things down.
Last 30 seconds with Tom Kern and Michael David Smith. What are you going to ask Roger Goodell at his press conference, or what do you expect to hear from him? Anything useful?
You have bookend scandals to this year in which you have really compromised the integrity of the game and the entire brand. How do you survive this?
I still want him to explain what did he see in that elevator video that he didn't already know. I still don't think he's given a good explanation for why he handled Ray Rice the way he did.
Well, great stuff, guys.
Are you going to go over and ask?
I've got to work,
man.
I'm going to be down here, and I got to take a break because it's time to take a break. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Pro Football Talk Live. We're broadcasting from Arizona, home of Super Bowl 49 on NBC Sports Radio. Now, live from Radio Row, it's Mike Florio.
Welcome back to PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio, rolling through hour number one, and now joined by one of the men who will forever have his bust in Canton in the Hall of Fame, former Buccaneers linebacker Derek Brooks, and actually, at least for the next 10 minutes, according to this, I'm Aeneas Williams.
Yes.
So we're both in the Hall of Fame for a little bit. These are great rings.
Yes, and Kay did a beautiful job when they redesigned it 3 years ago, part of the 50th anniversary at that time of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And this new design, they're going to start this year. Mike, all the living Hall of Famers, they're going to retroactively give them this ring. So we all have the same ring. Same gold jacket, same bus in Canton and be a team within a team. And one step further, the deceased Hall of Famers, their wives will get dependent.
Well, so that's great.
I thank Kay Jewelers again for their partnership with the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
You've got the Hall of Fame ring on. Where's the Super Bowl ring?
The Super Bowl ring didn't make this trip.
Where do you keep the Super Bowl ring?
I keep it right next to this one, tucked away in a safe.
Have you ever lost your Super Bowl ring?
No, I've never lost it, never will. But it's another special moment. What we did from 0-26 in 1976 and 77 to win that championship in 2002, it was a tough ride, but it was a beautiful win.
When did you know early in your career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that special things were going to come?
Probably 99, the way that we played the end of that season. And for the life of me, I still felt the better team was playing Tennessee in the Super Bowl was at home. I knew then our defense, if we went and shut down that St. Louis offense at the time, I knew we were on to something great if we could just stay together. And Rich McKay did a beautiful job of keeping our core group together. We added Simeon Rice a year later, and we continued to have a sustained run. Now, we did it at the expense of a head coaching change, which was probably needed at the time, and John Gruden, but we were able to keep that core group together for a while.
He's Derek Brooks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers Hall of Fame linebacker and member of the Super Bowl 37 championship team. Why do you say a head coaching change was needed at the time?
No, at the time, the Glazers, you know, was looking at how we were performing on defense, and our offense wasn't quite there. So they started to look at, you know, offensive personalities as a head coach. What Coach Dungy did for us was beautiful, man. He gave us a sustained way of doing business, a consistent way of being professionals, and we grew up together. But at that point, you know, now looking back on it, I can see from the owner's standpoint of saying, hey, what's change needed? The window closing. And the opportunity to get a coach like John Gruden at that time, they paid a steep price, but was very rare to do, and they decided to make a change. It wasn't popular with me at the time, but typical Coach Dungy, and you work with him, and you can appreciate this. He pulled me aside because he knew I was having a tough time with that decision and said, Derek, in order for you guys to succeed, you need to move on. I need to move on so I can succeed with where I'm going. And that kind of freed me, you know, to embrace whatever change was coming with the organization.
He's Derek Brooks, Hall of Fame linebacker from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and here on PFT Live and NBC Sports Radio. What's your favorite memory of Coach Dungy? You ever seen him yell?
Yeah, yes, I've seen him yell.
I've never seen him yell. I've been around him 5 years now. I've never seen him yell.
I've seen him yell, and it was for guys missing a community service appointment. Nothing football-wise. Guys miss a couple community service appointments, and that's the only time I've seen his eyes get red, that lip get a little quivery, and he basically chastised the team and told us how important those appointments and that service was, more so than what we did on the field. But that's the only time I really saw him get mad, and, you know, the 6 years he's my head coach is when guys – did not show up for a community service project.
You may be welcoming him into the club. He may be getting one of the rings and one of the jackets. John mm-hmm. Lynch may be as well. Have you mm-hmm. talked to Coach Dungy about how he's feeling in advance of the selection?
Yes, obviously being in Tampa, we talked to each other quite a bit. And, you know, Coach is, you know, nervous excitement as any. And, you know, for him, he feels he can't lose because if one of his players that he coached gets in, he feel and celebrate that as he did with me last year, even though he's my competition. And he'll probably feel the same way with John. And I'm pulling for Coach and John just as much as any to get in tomorrow. But I know that feeling, you know, just 12 months ago, I was feeling the same thing.
I feel like he'd, and I feel that this is genuine with him, that he'd rather his players get in than him. That mm-hmm. he'd feel better for them than he'd feel for himself, and he wants to see the men that he helped mm-hmm. mold get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and again, Mike, I wouldn't be surprised if that is truly the case because the way he comes across, that's who he is. It's not pretense. He's not putting on an act, but that's a genuine feeling of his. And that's what he said, you know, right as, you know, I got my announcement, I got a text from him saying some of the very same things. He was such proud of me, not just as a football player, but what obviously I was doing away from the field.
Yeah, if it's an act, it's a good act. I've been around him 12 hours a day every Sunday for 5 years, and he's always the same guy. And when you're around a guy like that, it makes you want to be more like him.
Right, it makes you want to be the best.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm going to continue to talk about my partners here being the best, Kay Jewelers and their relationship, and we want to be the best because Valentine's Day coming up. Right?
That's right.
So
I appreciate the reminder.
We're going to remind you along with others, go to K. Every kiss begins with K, and they're the number one jeweler store in America, or K.com, and design your own. But I want to give our guys a heads up, guys. Let's not fumble the football. Don't stomp your toe. Valentine's Day coming up. Go here and buy something nice for your significant
other. And flowers die quickly.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Right?
Yes, they do.
Something like this is permanent. And here's what amazes me. How many years did you play in the NFL?
14.
Okay, Derek Brooks, 14 years in the NFL, Hall of Famer. He's got these hands, and they are not football hands. I've had guys come through here with mangled fingers, twisted around. This looks like you've been washing dishes your whole life. How did you avoid that?
Because, you know, I guess I knew how to tackle and fall. I grabbed the guys and fall on top of them. But I've been blessed, Mike. No major surgeries.
No, sir. Have you had any surgeries?
No, major, none for football. Played every game of my career. And again, I know I'm running a rare breed. Rondé Barber, you know, is another one. But again, I'm blessed to take care of my body, and I must have known how to fall because I've jammed a finger or two, but none like some of my colleagues that I've seen their fingers.
Who's the Derek Brooks of today's NFL? Who's the guy that you look at and say that's me?
Well, you know, without any pressure being put on him, right there in Tampa, Lavonte David in this defense, you know, reminds me a lot of what I did, what Lance Briggs did in Chicago. He has an opportunity to do as well. He's made a lot of plays in his young career. And being in the second year of this defense coming up, I look for him to make even more explosive plays.
What do the Buccaneers need to do, though, to turn it around? Because a huge disappointment last year. High expectations for Lovie Smith.
Yeah.
What do they need to do this year?
I think they got to take their time. You know, understand the mistakes they made in free agency. Look forward to this draft. Obviously, very important pick with the number one pick. How does this draft set the stage on building a team moving forward? You have a patient ownership group that's there now and understand it's going to take some time to get where they need to go. But, again, they're not that far apart. They're not as far as people think. But they got to acknowledge the mistakes that they made, particularly in free agency on the offensive side of the football. How do they address that moving forward, whether it's draft, whether it's different free agents, and don't make the same mistakes twice?
If Coach Smith were to ask you for your input on whether he should take a quarterback with that first overall pick or trade back and stockpile, what would you tell him to do?
Because of who's available, and I'm going to watch this kid from Florida State, got to know him 2.5 years, I would say pick Jameis Winston. I think this kid has it, or he's shown thus far with the right environment around him, he could be a special player. So I would say that. I know a bit of it is a homer, and I acknowledge that, but they're not solidified at quarterback right now, and here's an opportunity to get a player thus far who's shown he could be a difference maker.
Can he be the face of an NFL franchise, given all the stuff that's swirled around
him? Not from day
one.
And I think he would admit that. It's going to take a group effort, some on his part, whichever organization drafts him, whichever organization represents him. It has to be a plan in place to help his development as a young man. And what the league went through last year, even the NFL is going to be involved in that development as young men now with this new policy. But to answer your question, I wouldn't say he's ready right now, but can he be with time? Yes.
Well, we'll see what happens. We appreciate some of your time. Thanks for bringing in the rings. I'm going to try to stick this one in my pocket when you're not looking. And we'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. The great Derek Brooks.
You're listening to a special Super Bowl broadcast of Pro Football Talk Live.
Live from Radio Row
on NBC Sports Radio. Now, it's back to Mike Florio.
Welcome back to PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. Friday here at Radio Row. If you're watching this program via ProFootballTalk.com or NBCSports.com, that's a shot of Super Bowl Central with the Roman numerals XLIX. A.K.A. 4-9, 4-Niner, Super Bowl 49 coming up in just 2 days. We've been here all week, and my goodness, the guests we've had. Just today, we had Bruce Arians, Cardinals coach, on to start the show. Derek Brooks, Hall of Famer, was just here. Hopefully, we momentarily will have Broncos receiver Demaryius Thomas, soon to be free agent Broncos receiver Demaryius Thomas. Other guests scheduled for today, Jared Allen of the Chicago Bears, formerly the Minnesota Vikings, Hall of Fame tackle Jackie Slater, Broncos cornerback Chris Harris, Justin Forsett of the Ravens, soon to be free agent, unless the Ravens find a way to take care of a guy who had a great season for them in 2014, Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph, he was the Pro Bowl MVP a couple of years ago, Greg Jennings, also of the Vikings, and Jimmy Graham, Saints tight end, not receiver. We settled that last year. Saints tight end, Jimmy Graham, just part of a. My gosh, I look at the names we've had. How do we do all this stats? How do we fit all these people in?
Sort of our job. You know, just.
I just stand saying. Here and talk. You just bring people and say, okay, now you're talking to this guy. How about this guy? Great job to you and Kristen Coleman for getting everything together. Who will hear great job Sunday night? Who will win the game? We talked earlier with MDS of PFT and Tom Curran of CSN New England. Curran, predictably, picking the Patriots to win. He has to go back there and live and work. MDS likes the Seahawks, and I really was torn. I continue to be torn. I picked the Seahawks back in September. Seahawks-Patriots for the Super Bowl. Never got it right before. How can I go against that blind squirrel found an acorn in early September? I can't go against that, but I could see it go either way. And I continue to be fascinated by the fact that Bill Belichick will come up with a game plan that is designed to beat you however it takes. We'll run the ball, we'll run the ball. Pass the ball, pass the ball. Take away this guy, take away that guy, whatever you have to do. Whereas with Seattle, you just put your guys out there and tell them do what you always do. But either way, it works, and either way, the team that has gotten to the Super Bowl from each conference has found a way to prevail. One of them won't on Sunday. There's breaking news for you. And here's breaking news. Coming to the set, Demaryius Thomas, Broncos receiver. How are you, pal? Great to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm great. I'm great.
You're doing a lot of these, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
How do you
sir.
Like this, talking into a microphone?
It's not bad. It's not bad. I'm not used to it, but it's not bad. I'll let you do that.
Like anything else, it gets easier the more you do it. And they've let me do it for a while, so until they take it away, I just keep doing it.
Keep doing
it's
it.
It's not really working. Nobody's hitting me while I'm...
You're right about that. You get to sit up here and look good in the suit.
How'd the season go for you health-wise? You come out of it okay?
I came out pretty good. Not I ain't going to say 100. You know, I got an ankle and hand problem. I got an ankle and hand injury, but... so far, you know, I'm good. I'm blessed. See another season, successful season as an, you know, individual. But, you know, I look forward to coming back and trying to get back here.
Looking back at how things ended for the Broncos this year, anything you can put your finger on as to what went wrong?
That's kind of hard to say, you know. I don't want to say, you know, everybody have injuries. This is what this sport's about. You people get hurt. But we had some key injuries this year. We had some guys on defense. You had guys on offense that people really didn't notice, but was playing with injuries and couldn't play their best. But I think that's one of the keys. And it's hard to point out anything else. You know, I feel like some guys, you know, didn't have the fight or whatever it was. You know, it was totally a different team than last year. I think we had more talent this year, but. It was a little more fighting that team last year, I think.
How did it go wrong this year, then? From the fight standpoint.
I think it was one thing was, you know, we kind of, you know, guys, I feel like guys kind of looked over the Colts. You had guys always talking about the night before the game, you had them, oh, I don't want to go to New England and play New England. And I think that was one of the big things.
How surprised were you, Demaryius Thomas, Broncos receiver, the day after that game against the Colts? You don't have a head coach anymore.
I was very surprised. You know, me and Foxy been together 4 years, and I love Foxy. He's a great guy, great coach, players coach. And to see that, you know, I was very shocked, you know. But, you know, I can't say much on that. You know, that's play people upstairs taking care of their business. And they said it was a problem they had to take care of.
And you got some business to take care of. Free agent coming up here in March. What's going to happen? You going to be with the Broncos or somebody else next year?
You know, I'm hoping the Broncos, but I can't sit there say right now. You know, and if I have to hit the market or whatever, I have to deal with that. But, you know, right now I'm not even thinking about it. I'm going to let my agent and, you know, Elway and the rest of the guys handle it and see what happens.
Do you want to go back to the Broncos if Peyton Manning would decide to retire?
Yeah, I would go. I would go. You know, I got all the faith in Brock Osweiler. You know, he's been around Peyton for 3 years now. He's grown every year he's been there. And, you know, I've been watching him, and he get confident and more confident every year. So I'll be fine back.
Wrapping up with Demaryius Thomas, Broncos receiver. Has Peyton Manning told you what he's going to do? Nobody's watching this. You can tell me.
I haven't even really talked with him. You know, I don't bother him after the season, especially seasons like this. You
Does
know.
He tell you don't bother me?
No,
Does
no.
He say leave me alone?
You never want to bother him anyway.
Do you text him and he says, "Where how'd you get this number?"
No,
has he done that to you?
No. Nah, he won't do that. He ain't that bad of a guy.
If I text you, will you do that to me?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what I I'm used to that. My wife does that to me. How'd you get this number? You're not supposed to have this number. All right, Demaryius. Hey, you think? But in your heart, what do you think? You think he's going to be back?
I think he will. I say that because I want him back, but I really don't know. I really don't know. I can't really say.
Well, Demaryius, we appreciate you taking some time. Oh, and we didn't mention that. You know what? I'll do a big plug for Courtyard later. I know you're here for Courtyard. We had limited time. I'll talk all about your Courtyard thing later in the program, I promise you.
Thank you.
All right. Demaryius Thomas, Broncos receiver. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio, and this is Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio.
And we're coming at you live from the Super Bowl's Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, here's your host, Mike Florio.
Welcome back to PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio, hour number two. And if you were listening to the program a minute ago, Demaryius Thomas dropping some pretty strong stuff as it relates to the 2014 Denver Broncos. He questioned the fight of some of the members of the team. He said that they looked past the Colts, and he said the night before the playoff game against the Colts, some of his teammates were actually talking about how they didn't want to go to New England the following week. So, wow. And that meshes with comments from Jeremy Mincy, formerly of the Broncos, after he left the team in early 2014, that the Broncos were lackadaisical when they were playing the Seahawks last year. So maybe John Elway knows a little bit more than people would suggest about why a coaching change was needed. Speaking of coaching changes, we got a guy with a team that just made a coaching change. Jared Allen in the flesh.
Oh, thanks
for
having me.
You're tall. Or I'm short. Which
yeah,
one is
you know,
it?
It's a mixture. It's just
thanks.
A mixture. Yeah. I'm going to blame it on camera angles.
That's it. It's all lighting and tricks. How's everything?
Oh, I can't complain. Life's good. Got two healthy kids and a beautiful wife.
How old are your kids?
3 and 6 months. Almost 6 months.
How does the is it boy or girl older?
Two girls.
How does big sister feel about little sister?
You know what? She loves her, you know, in doses. So she plays a little bit and then goes and does her thing. So we've been blessed so far.
How do you like playing for the Chicago Bears?
You know what? It's been great. It was a rough year. But you know, our fan base is phenomenal. Organization is great. I mean, there's so much history in Chicago that it's hard not to enjoy, you know, walking into a building when you see, you know, Walter Payton's name everywhere, Dick Butkus, and, you know, great Coach Ditka, all that stuff, and you realize how great of a player he was, too. So,
how weird was it to play against the Vikings after all those years in
Yeah,
Minnesota?
It was different. You know, you're at a place for so long and had so much success there, you know, it becomes a part of you. And, I mean, I loved Minnesota. Every good memory, bad memory, it's all part of it. And, you know, unfortunately, this, you know, things change, and you know they were getting younger, and you know I was trying to go to a contender, and unfortunately the Bears we didn't have the year we wanted to, but we are talented, and you know playing the Vikes was always cool. It's always fun to play against your friends, and the fans were great welcoming me back. So.
You said good memory and bad memory in Minnesota. What was your worst memory from Minnesota?
Losing the NFC Championship game. I mean, come on, that was heartbreaking.
Did you? And we're talking to Jared Allen now, the Chicago Bears, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings, and before that for a few years, Kansas City Chiefs. Did you sense anything weird during that game that they were trying to put Favre in the hospital?
No, you know what, and you know how you stop that? Throw the flag. That's easy. So you know they were playing aggressive. Both sides were playing aggressive. You know, I think we had 5 turnovers that game. So you take away the turnovers, it's a different story. But you know what? That's why you play the games. And you know everybody talked about that at the end of it. But you know if you throw the flags, if you think it's a penalty, throw the flags, and the team won't do it. But to you know cry over spilt milk is a waste of time.
What do you think of John Fox as your new head coach?
I'm excited. You know I haven't talked to him yet, so looking forward to speaking with him and seeing what the game plan is, what kind of defense sequence we're running. But I think, you know, what the organization's done is they've really put together a coaching staff that is a win now type of staff. And I think, you know, with the talent we have on our roster, that, you know, this could be a staff that could get that, maximize everything that we do. And, you know, obviously John has a great track record. He has you talk to players that have played for him, you know, we have mutual friends and everybody speaks highly of them. And so, you know, just excited to see where the future goes.
What ultimately went wrong last year for the Bears?
Oh, what didn't? I mean, you had injuries. We had, you know, this, that, and the other. But the bottom line, we weren't consistent. I mean, we just didn't get the job done when we needed to get done. Whether it's, you know, what coaches were selling didn't come across, or guys, you know, we weren't consistent. And as a player, you have to take full responsibility for it. When you get on that field, it's your job to perform. And we didn't do it at a level that was high enough to win every week.
We're with Jared Allen of the Chicago Bears here on PFT Live and NBC Sports Radio. Jay Feely, who spent some time this past season kicking with the Bears, said this week that your quarterback, Jay Cutler, will never be a leader. Any response to that?
You know, I think what people's idea of a leader is, you know what I mean? I mean, for example, I played with Tony Gonzalez in Kansas City. Tony's one of the greatest, you know, tight ends to ever play the game, one of the greatest football players to ever play the game. But he wasn't a vocal leader. He wasn't that guy. But Tony taught me so much through his actions that, you know, about work ethic and discipline and everything like that. I think, you know, a guy doesn't always have to be vocal. A guy doesn't always have to be rah-rah emotion. I've competed.
You do that too, though. That's the way you lead. You lead by example.
I show up every day. I try to. And you know what? And I will say one thing. You cannot take work ethic away from Jay. He's always in the building. He's always studying. He's practices. He's not the guy that's, you know, taking plays off. But, you know, I say anything. You know, if we're going to, you know, this year we got behind a lot. We threw the ball, 50 times a game? You're going to have picks. You know, I think if you know, I'm excited to see what we can do. We have a great running back in Matt Forte. I'd like, you know, like to see us use him more. You know, so I went to Chicago because I've competed against Jay for many years, and I know the fire and the tenacity that he has, and I know the ability he has. I mean, you look at the year before he got hurt, he was having a great year. Everybody said Trestman, you know, resurrected Jay Cutler. But we live in a market where if you don't win, you're going to get all the criticism. So I view it as, you don't, it's just what kind of leader are you going to be? You don't always have to be the vocal guy, but Jay sits there. He answers tough questions every week. He takes all the heat every week. And, you know, just so what if the guy doesn't want to be, you know, emotional and the guy doesn't want to speak up? You know what? I view him on his work ethic and what he puts into the game. And if I thought he wasn't putting anything into the game, I'd say something. But, you know, I got no problem with Jay.
He's Jared Allen, Bears defensive end here on PFT Live. Does a football team, though, need somebody who will be a vocal leader, regardless whether it's quarterback or somebody, for the guys who don't respond to the example?
Well, Marshall. I mean, you know.
Do they listen to Brandon?
But, you know, I think, but what's vocal leadership? I mean, if I have a problem with a guy, I'm not going to call him out in the middle of the locker room. That's not being a leader. You know, being a leader is taking a guy aside and saying, hey, you need, you know, this. Majority of good leaders, you never know what they talk about. You know, because they're going to have individual conversations with guys, you know, getting upset. But, yeah, when Brandon shows that emotion, that's good, because Brandon's one of the best wide receivers in the game. So when young guys see that kind of emotion come from him, you know, I'm an emotional guy, too. You're going to see it on the sideline, see it in the locker room. But, you know, ranting and raving is different than motivating, you know. And I think the best way, this is professional football. If you don't want to be the best, if you're not self-motivated, you really don't have a place in this game. If you need a rah-rah speech to get going every week, you have no business in this game. And, you know, we have a very talented roster. And part of that is managing that talent. And, you know, that's what makes coaches good coaches, right? Getting the best out of their players. And, you know, and again, you saw some games where we played phenomenal. You saw some games where it just wasn't up to par, and unfortunately there was too many of those games, and then you get injury stricken and that kind of stuff, and, you know, guys got to step up and make plays, and we didn't make it enough. But I'm like I said, I'm excited for the future. I'm excited to see where this goes.
He's Jared Allen, Bears defensive end. You've provided a great example to your teammates over the years. You provide a great example for everybody else off the field with the work you do for the Home for Wounded Warriors. Talk about what you have going on now.
Yeah, so my foundation, Jared Allen's Homes for Wounded Warriors, we just teamed up with Lane Furniture. Lane Furniture is designing a new recliner called the Valor Chair, and a portion of all the proceeds made from the sales of this chair are going to come to the foundation. Having a company as big as Lane with the reach that they have and putting the financial support just allows us to touch the lives of many, many of our wounded vets coming home. And that's what we do. We build and remodel homes to make them handicapped rehab accessible for our wounded vets coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, again, with a partner like Lane, the awareness that they can bring, the financial backing that they support, I mean, we're going to be able to positively impact the lives of so many more people. I mean, we already have a great list of sponsors that support what we do. And, you know, we've been around since 2009. We're currently about to finish our eighth home. We have a new recipient up in Oregon we're getting ready to build. Hopefully we're going to do a home out in North Carolina soon. We're looking for, you know, with a partner like this, it really expands your reach throughout the whole United States. And we're just thrilled. And again, I mean, it gives another way for our supporters to help. Not only can you go online to homesofwoundedwarriors.com and you can give a donation, but now you can buy a legit, all of, it's American made, like made of steel. It's like the all American recliner. I was sitting there the other day and I was like, oh goodness, I want this. And, so, you know, now, I mean, you're going to buy a great product, but not only that, you're going to change the lives of great Americans.
And what's this about? Lane is the newest sponsor of your Pro Bull team. What's that all about?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's another
bull riding.
Yeah. I own PBR Bucking
Bulls. Do you ride a bull?
No, I don't. I own PBR Bucking Bulls, and we have riders that ride for our team, and it's kind of a NASCAR style. And, you know, portions of all that comes back to our foundation. And, you know, we're just thrilled to have them on board with everything we do.
Do you ride horses, or do the horses ride you?
No, I ride horses. I grew up on a ranch, so my dad trained reining and cutting horses, you know, for a good 30-plus years. And so, you know, the transition to the bull world was different, but it's similar because of the Western style. But, yeah, I grew up, my old man's an old cowboy. I grew up, you know, cleaning stalls before high school, all that good stuff.
We've talked several times before on the phone. This is the first time we've ever talked in person. I've come to a conclusion over the last 10 minutes.
What's that?
You could kill me if you wanted to.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm a gentle giant. Right?
I mean, if you wanted to. Hopefully you'll never choose to. But great stuff from Jared Allen. Thanks for taking some time. Check out the homesforwoundedwarriors.com, and we'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pro Football Talk Live, broadcasting live from the Super Bowl's Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona. On NBC Sports Radio. Now, back to Mike Florio.
Welcome back to Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio. Just a reminder, you can listen and vote for your favorite Westwood One Super Bowl commercial before the big game even begins. Go to thesoundawards.com. That's thesoundawards.com. Voting is open now. And joining us right now, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, 20 years with the Rams, 19 with the LA Rams, 1 with the St. Louis Rams, and the father of a fairly key player in this Sunday's Super Bowl, father of Matthew Slater, Jackie Slater, joining the program now. What advice will you give to your son, if you haven't already, on what to expect?
Well, I'm going to give him the same advice that I did 4 years ago, and that is, you know, don't let the game get too big for you. Capitalize your thoughts and focus on your job. I played in Super Bowl 14. We lost the game to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I can remember going into the ball game, all the talk was about the late LC Greenwood with his gold shoes and dancing over the quarterbacks, and I knew that if that was going to happen, that we weren't going to have a chance to win. So I narrowed my focus, and my job was to try to neutralize the guy so that we'd have a chance. And so even though we lost the ball game, I learned a great lesson in my first year as a starter, and that was my job is the most important job to the team's success. And as long as I'm doing my job, then I can live with the outcome.
And you gave the Steelers everything they could handle. Final score, very misleading. It felt for a long time like the Rams were going to win that game.
It certainly did. With 11 minutes to go in the ball game, we had the lead, but that's only a story that Terry Bradshaw appreciates.
That's right. And he tells it well.
He does.
Jackie
he does.
Slater, Hall of Fame tackle, St. Louis and Los Angeles Rams. The Rams have been in St. Louis now for 20 years. It sure seems like owner Stan Kroenke is ready to pull up the stakes and head back to where they came from.
Well, that's what a lot of people are thinking, but I don't know Mr. Kroenke or his motivations at this point. And I only know that if he did come back, if the Rams did come back, I believe that the fans would welcome them wholeheartedly. I know there's a diehard group of fans. I personally felt that we had the best fans in the country when I was playing. It made me, just an offensive lineman, feel like if I was playing, we had a chance. So if they did that with me, you can imagine how they made Eric Dickerson and Vince Ferragamo and Jim Everett feel. So I know there's a fan base there. But if the Rams don't come back and the NFL brings a different team there, I think the brand is strong, and I think that people love the game, and they will come out and support it 100%.
He's Jackie Slater, NFL Hall of Famer. You talked about LC Greenwood earlier. Who was the toughest guy you faced?
Oh, You know, I used to answer that question by simply saying it depended on what we were trying to get accomplished that day. If we were going to be throwing the ball a lot, I didn't want to have to deal with Mark Gastineau because he was blazing fast at 275 pounds. But the one guy that I think caused me the most problems situationally, and I'm talking about front side of inside zone, front side of outside zone, three-step, five-step, seven-step drops, and even all of our play-action stuff, would be Reggie White. Reggie White was a tremendous athlete for his size. He was 6'5", he weighed 315 pounds, ran about a 4.6 40, which meant that was a lot of mass moving at a very high rate of speed, and it was very hard to control. So, you know, you had to roll the dice here and there and take some gambles to have a chance to play against a guy and neutralize him like that. But he was by far the best overall talent I think I played against.
He's Jackie Slater, NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer, formerly of the Rams. Who was the best player you played with?
Well, you know, I played with a lot of good football players, man. I played with seven NFL Hall of Famers, not all in their prime, but, you know, seven NFL Hall of Famers. And, you know, I could go positionally and say that I'm a better football player because I practice against Jack Youngblood every single day. I watched this guy beat people in games doing the things that he was beating me with in practice and everything. So he was a great defensive lineman that I played with. And then Eric Dickerson, we just celebrated the 30th anniversary of his single-season rushing record, 2,105 yards. I mean, one of the most dynamic talents I've ever been around at any level, certainly. And then the list goes on and on. Dennis Herrera, many people remember he was an unbelievable offensive lineman. And Leroy Irvin and Money Jackson. And I mean, I played with some talented guys. Joe Namath. I mean, there was no bigger star than Joe Namath. He wasn't the same guy, but when he came to the Rams, there was no bigger star in L.A. than Joe Namath. So it's hard for me to – you can't pin me down on that one.
And looking back as we talked to Jackie Slater, PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio, can you make any sense of how you were able to do it for 20 years?
Yes, there's no doubt in my mind. I was just – the good Lord said, let there be offensive tackle, and I'm going to bless him with doing something that he has a passion to do and he loves to do. I was just blessed. Because there's no explanation. I mean, there were too many times when there could have been a knee or there could have been an ankle or 300-pound man fell here instead of falling there. And I just marveled at it after I go back and look at the tape. But not only that, the coaches that I had at unique times that taught me, I mean, I can remember when the change of technique for an offensive lineman, his ability to pass block, went from a folded forearm where you grasp your chest pad to being able to play with extended arms, when all of a sudden arm range became a big priority. And I never thought about it, but I had some of the longest arms of anybody out there. And so there were so many unique situations that popped up that allowed me to not only be successful but to thrive in the industry. And I don't think it happened haphazardly. I think it was just God's will for my life.
And you talked about staying healthy. Not everybody's that fortunate, and that dovetails with what you're doing with Zimmer Orthopedics. Talk about what you have going on with them.
Well, Zimmer Orthopedics, I mean, they've done a great job of coming alongside people with this osteoarthritis, OA they call it. We usually hear about that with your great aunt or your somebody old and everything, but in the world in which I live, you know, these are young men who are having hips issues and knee issues, and for years, nobody was willing to do anything about it because they'd always say, well, you know, if you get it done now, you're going to have to get it done again in 20 years. And so in the meantime, what are you supposed to do, live with this kind of pain? I'm looking at you live with pain. And most of my buddies would say, well, hey, man, it's all about pain. I play with pain. That's what football is about. No, that's not what football is about. That's not what life is about. And there's no reason for you to be living in that kind of pain. I mean, Zimmer, they've come along a side of 1.5 million people in knee replacement over the last 10 years. And they've done 500,000 people with hip replacement. So I take my hat off to them because I see people, you know, not living in pain, and I know people having better quality of life. So that's why I think Zimmer is doing a fantastic job.
Wrapping up with Jackie Slater, Pro Football Hall of Famer here on PFT Live, where will you be Sunday? Do you go to the game? Do you have to like go in a quiet room and watch
it on
TV?
Idealistically, I'm sitting in front of my television at home with my DirecTV so I can go back and forth and give my son the critique that he expects me to give him after every game. So that's not going to happen. This is the big game. I had to come. So I'm going to sit there, and strategically I'm going to enjoy it from this standpoint. In my mind, I have put together the things that I think the Patriots must do on offense and defense to be successful. And then I've also, in my mind, pieced together the things I think that the Seattle Seahawks need to do in order for the Patriots to be successful. So I'm going to be looking at those things. It's my own little way of looking at it. And
then you can record the game.
I can record it. I'm recording the game at home.
And he'll hear all about it next week.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, good luck to Matthew on Sunday. Congratulations on your great career.
Thank
and thanks for
much.
Some of your time.
Thank you.
Jackie Slater, Pro Football Hall of Famer. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.